a rich man's world. I have turned the song of this beautiful land, but that
we are now back in the building. My name is Ja.
Hey, you know it's Duke over here. What's going on, folks?
Welcome back to Fantasy Football with Gumbo. You know how we like to do it. Guys, today we're going to be talking about some rookies, some guys who are really under the radar. This is a heavy sleeper episode. Duke, any guys you really wanted to, I guess, like start out with? Any players you want to just get the ball rolling on?
You know, man, there's a guy that you've been talking my ear off lately, and that guy is Brendan Rice. This guy, he seems like the real deal at the next level. At least it looks like he has tremendous body control. We all know about the speed. If you haven't heard, this guy's an absolute speedster. And the last name, Rice. Yes, it is Jerry Rice's son. Jahia, I know that you have the deep dive into this cat. Tell me a little bit about him, what you like about him, and what caught your eye.
One thing that really caught my eye about Brendan Rice is he's a route technician. And I know a lot of his game at USC was, you know, his deep play ability. He goes long. He makes big plays happen. If there's anybody who's going to catch a 70-yard touchdown on USC, you know, it's going to be Brendan Rice. And I think at the next level, he's not going to get that first, second, or third round draft capital. So you can obviously wave that goodbye. I think he's going to be like a fifth, sixth, maybe even a seventh round draft pick.
I doubt he slips to the sixth. I doubt it. I really think that this guy's going to be a fifth rounder. I think that if MVS was a fifth rounder, I see no reason why a guy, a prospect like Brendan Rice would be a sixth rounder. I don't know, man. I just feel like with all those comp picks, everything like that, there's no chance. And not to say that he doesn't deserve to go higher. I think that the one thing that I think kind of hindered him was the sheer fact that he ran a 4.5 at the combine. But like when you watch him play, I just feel like he plays at such a higher speed. So not sure what happened there, but man, if I'm a GM pretty much anywhere, but even if I'm a GM of the Packers, you know, my favorite team of all time, I would take a chance on this kid in the fifth round if I have an extra fifth. Like, I really don't see the issue on doing that. The guy will give you an extra wrinkle wherever you are.
Bro, there's so many receivers this year. Roman Wilson's another guy who had really great college tape, and you see him even falling down the draft board. I mean, he's like a third, fourth round pick right now in a lot of rookie drafts.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Roman Wilson coming into the league?
I think he's one of those guys that can pretty much do it all. He's just under 6 foot, but he runs a 4.39. He has pretty decent size to him still. I think he's just a shade under 200, which, I mean, as a receiver, I feel like that's all right. He gives me the kind of vibe where I think he's going to be utilized kind of like a Swiss Army knife wherever he is. I think he's going to be kind of like a gadget cat.
Yeah.
Overall, though, I think that he's a great prospect, and I'm excited to see where he goes here in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Roman Wilson he's a great Z receiver. Like, I think he's a good number two option on the team.
Yeah, at least a good three. I mean, I could definitely see him being a three just because, I don't know, man. Like, I could even see this guy taking some carries in the backfield. I realistically could see that.
I think in fantasy football, Roman Wilson he's going to probably sit in your taxi the first year, right? You're going to draft Roman Wilson maybe like in the fourth, fifth round of a rookie draft. If you're talking a one quarterback rookie draft, if you play in a one quarterback style of league, no super flex, Roman Wilson probably goes in like the fourth or fifth round. If you're talking super flex, he might even go even later than that, maybe even potentially some leagues he might go undrafted, who knows. But he's a guy to keep on your radar. Dugo, taking it from Roman Wilson, did you want to kind of get into maybe Blake Corum a little bit? Let's take it over to the running backs.
Yeah, for sure, bro. We could definitely jump into the running backs here. I'm not sure exactly where my feelings are with Blake Corum. I mean, he has some decent size. He's 5'8", 215 pounds, I believe. Runs a 4.5. My biggest thing, though, is how long is that going to hold up in the NFL? Just because he's already taken so many hits as a running back at Michigan.
Right.
So I like the guy. I like the production that he can offer you. I just think that one of the best qualities that he had when he was at Michigan was, you know, he was a goal line back somehow at Michigan. Like they were able to pull that off.
Yeah.
So I'm just worried to see him being utilized like that in the NFL and just not working out. So I feel like he might be one of those cats. Like we've talked about him just before the episode.
Yeah.
And you've talked about him being a running back that you'd want to see in between the 20s.
In between the 20s, I'd like to see him at the goal line. He has the potential to maybe, like, bro, he has first round potential, right? Like, and when I talk about first round.
What do you mean?
When I talk about first round potential in terms of, like, where you want to draft a guy.
Not in the NFL draft.
Not in the NFL draft, in fantasy football, right? My name's Joe Schmo, and I'm right now trying to find a guy who I want to draft in the first round with my first round pick. In fantasy football, you know, Blake Corum as a 1-7, 1-8, 1-9 style of pick. Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I honestly hate that, if I'm going to be real with you. Just because last year we're talking about the same kind of guy being a Devin Achane, who he could add a real wrinkle into your offense. I just don't really know if I see a real wrinkle with Blake Corum. I think he can do a lot for you, yeah. But I just don't know if he's that dynamic playmaker that deserves first-round cap, if I'm just going to be completely honest.
Okay. So, you know what? Going off of that, my comp of Blake Corum is going to be like a Devontae Freeman, right? If you guys remember Devontae Freeman, running back for the Falcons, you know, he was really low to the ground, kind of underrated, I think, to an extent. But he was really great in between the guards. He was great in like a gap style of, as a gap runner, right? Blake Corum is similar. There's a lot of rumors about him potentially ending up with John Harbaugh in Los Angeles. But that's not a guarantee, right? So just as a pure prospect entering the NFL, I like Corum a lot. I think he could be great. Will I spend a 1-7, a 1-8, a 1-9 on Blake Corum? Yeah.
Brazy. That's brazy just because this last year you're getting someone just a completely different runner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Like I feel like I know where you're coming from, but I just feel like there's other cats out there that I feel like deserve first-round capital.
Let's take it there. Hypothetically, if you were somebody listening to this episode and you had a late first-round pick.
Okay.
You play in a one quarterback league. This is not about super flex, right? Who are guys that you're starting to kind of look at around the 1-7, 1-8, 1-9?
Well, I mean, it kind of just depends on where people are falling, how early people are taking running backs, because there are just a bunch of really good wide receivers, it seems like, and the running back class is a little bit less deep. But realistically, I'd be looking at someone like a Jalen Wright. Or even like a Trey Benson, if you ask me.
Okay. Trey Benson. Do you like Trey Benson more or less than Blake Corum?
Oh, I like him so much more than Blake Corum. I really do.
I do too. I think Trey Benson should honestly be going a little bit higher than that. If I'm keeping it a bean, Trey Benson is one of my favorite running backs in this draft class.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Corum. Obviously, for listeners, hey, I want to go ahead and make sure I talk about everybody, but Trey Benson, man, he's special.
Yeah, I really think so as well, man. I just feel like he adds so many just different dynamics to your scheme. He can be a through, like you said before, or he can go through the guards like you've stated with other running backs, like, you know, Blake Corum being able to when he was at Michigan. But I think that Trey Benson has the size to be able to do that at the next level. I mean, he's 6 foot, 215. And plus, once he gets through that gap, he has the speed to get away from everyone because he runs a 4.39.
Insane.
Dude, like, it's not like outrageous speed. But once you get people going a different direction and then you have to change speeds, change directions and go chase that cat, good luck.
Imagine he ends up in Dallas.
I really could see it, dude. I could. Like, that's such a good fit for him. I think that Dallas is going to be one of the lead spots for a running back this year in the draft, and I think that's why they were so late to the party.
Trey Benson as a RB1.
Hey, bro. They're more than willing to do it. They did it with Zeke. They've done it with a bunch of other cats. I could definitely see him being the running back one on that team coming into the year.
In college, at FSU, hey, great career. Will Shipley's another guy I want to kind of...
Oh, dude.
I want to talk about. And you might be able to get Will Shipley for a lot cheaper than you might be able to get a Trey Benson, right?
Dude, Will Shipley, certified dog.
Tell me more about Will Shipley. Tell me more about his game. And tell me more about why I should care to look more into him as a player.
All right, man. So I'm going to utilize a baseball phrase here quick.
Okay.
He's a five-tool player.
Tell me more.
All right. So when you hear that, it means he has all the tools in the box. He has everything that you need. In baseball, it means you can hit for power. You can hit for contact. You can run. You can go out in the field. And you're a good kid. I don't know what the fifth one is, but, you know, it's...
You can do it all. Got it.
Exactly.
Got it.
So, but that's exactly what this guy can do as well. Mm-hmm. One of the best things about him is his durability. He doesn't really miss games. He doesn't really miss a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
Another thing about him is he has every tool in the box, like we've stated, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can run and he can catch. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. And if you ask me... For his size at 5'11", 200 pounds, so to give you a little bit of a reference for size, I'd say he's about the size of like an Aaron Jones. He's a hell of a run blocker as well, or not run blocker, but pass blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So you can keep him in there on third downs to be your quarterback's blind side if needed. I don't know. He's just that cat. You know, he does everything.
Will Shipley, like in college, I liked him a lot. I liked his O-line a lot at Clemson Dugo. One point of emphasis as a fantasy analyst, I wanted to get better at looking at offensive lines in college, right? So I look at Will Shipley, his center, his guards were insane. You talked about Will Shipley and why he's such a versatile tool in the backfield. I want to see Will Shipley end up in a situation that's similar to what he had at Clemson. He had a great interior line. He had guys like Will Putnam. We're talking about fifth-year centers and guards who are now NFL draft prospects, right? He had the benefit of running behind guys who created holes. Shipley's a head-down, run-hard, bulldozer style of runner if he needs to be, Dugo. But he's also a pass catcher if he needs to be.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. When I'm looking at this cat, I honestly hope that he lands on the Packers because this is the kind of guy that I would go out and grab a jersey for.
Game changer.
Dude, he's an every tool cat, in my opinion, man. Like, he can do everything for you. Plus, with Aaron Jones leaving, I need a new jersey.
That's fair.
Rip to Aaron Jones.
That's fair. Rip to Aaron Jones. You know, that's that on Will Shipley. He's maybe a third-round value for you drafters at home.
100%.
You know, we're talking about third-round fantasy football rookie draft style of investment. He's going to go in the rookie drafts around where Braylon Allen is being drafted. Dugo, ain't that crazy?
Not really, dude. I think that both the guys that you just stated, Braylon Allen, we're moving to now. I think I love this kid. I really do. I mean, obviously, full-on Wisconsin head over here. Didn't love that he didn't run a 40, but... I mean, when you look at the kid, I believe he was a track athlete when he was in high school, so he does have that extra gear when needed.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen him run away from defenders as well in his time at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I think realistically this guy isn't going to be the home run hitter in the NFL, but I really think that this guy has the potential to be a little bit less than what Derrick Henry is.
I think Braylon Allen has the potential to not only be a great NFL player, Braylon Allen... is the style of runner similar to like a Ken Walker, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
Give him the ball, let him run, let him, you know, run people over in the fourth quarter of a real NFL game. I love Braylon Allen, man. Like, as a player, I love everything that he's about. I love him as a, you know,
right,
what I'm saying? Like as a character, as a person, as a human.
Absolutely, man. The guy is still, I believe, 20 years old. I think he turns 21 during the draft or something like that.
Bro, he's going to be one of the youngest players in the NFL, just flat out.
I just think, yeah, exactly. I think his best football is honestly still ahead of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you get him into a true NFL system, I mean, not saying that Wisconsin doesn't produce great running backs year after year.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think once you get to the NFL, it's a little different. And so when you are able to trim maybe the fat off a little bit, you know, get him 1% better every day, I just think that that's going to be a good place for him. Or wherever he goes, it's going to be a good place for him.
100%. 100%. Braylon Allen, dog, Will Shipley.
Dog.
Dog. But let's talk about other guys, too.
Dude, let's talk about Isaac Grendel for a second, since we're talking about Badgers. Isaac Grendel was a Badger in the past.
Isaac Grendel, I really hope he ends up on the Packers.
You want him to be on the Packers? I get it, bro. Like, I get it. He's
the type of value pick that I could see a Brian Gutekunst, you know what I'm saying? Like, just taking a shot on.
No, I could definitely see it.
Isaac Grendel, he's one of my favorite prospects in terms of his speed is insane.
Bro,
he can make a big play happen at any point of the game with one touch. He can turn. He can get all of his value off of one touch.
Yeah.
He is Xavier Worthy at running back.
It's pretty crazy, but he's a lot bigger.
This
guy is 6'2", 220, and he runs the same speed pretty much.
Insane. It's
crazy.
It's insane. Crazy. But yeah, no, Isaac Grendel, love him a lot. Love him as like a fifth round style of pickup for you guys at home to draft in your rookie drafts.
Yeah, the biggest hit that I have on the cat is that he just wasn't very productive throughout college, if I wanted to keep it a buck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he averaged pretty good yards throughout the years. The last 3 years, he averaged 6 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry, and then 7 yards. Mind you, two of those seasons, I believe, were at Wisconsin. So not terrible. That's big time football. That's going against cats like Michigan, Ohio State, Minnesota, probably not the greatest place, but Iowa, you'd go against Iowa as well. So
we just got done talking about Braylon Allen. Bro, Isaac Grendel was Braylon Allen's backup.
Right.
Right? He was his backup at as a Badger when he was in Wisconsin. Obviously, he had that big year at the University of Louisville. Isaac Grendel comes into the league as a 6'2", 221, 4.33 style of runner. He's going to be a dog.
Yeah, man. I really wish he would have stayed a Badger, but I think he was honestly the three spot behind.
He deserved his ability to. Him and Braylon Allen should have never been on the same team.
Right.
They're two running backs that deserve their own offenses.
Right. But I still think that he was still kind of in a carousel down there in Louisville regardless. So he just never got his fair share to shine. So, I mean, once he gets to a place, I mean, we've seen what he can do with 130 carries in a year, which he'll get you 800 yards, which isn't terrible. That's 6 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. Like, I like the kid. I really do. I just, at the end of the day, wish he would have produced a little more, but he has all the chance to do that at the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I like Isaac a lot, too. He's, you know, he's going to be good, man. I think he, I don't know where he's going to get drafted in the NFL. He's probably one of the biggest question marks when it comes to just NFL draft capital. But I liked him at Louisville. I like Jamari Thrash at Louisville. Jamari Thrash is one of those receivers who's, you know, he's a little bit smaller, great route runner, pretty quick. He looks physically similar to Jordan Addison. When I look at the 2024 class in comparison to what the 2023 had to offer. But you know what I'm saying? Like Jamari, he's a pretty damn good receiver. I think he deserves a little bit more shine. He has great hands. He's a route technician. His size like he's not the biggest dude on the field, but if he gets his opportunity, right, I think he could do well with it. Physically, once again, I mean, he looks like Jordan Addison. He looks a little bit like Jaden Reed too, if you're a Packer fan. But in terms of what I think he could be at the next level, I think he could be similar to those dudes. I don't know if he'll get first or second round draft capital Dugo. But I like Jamari. Jaden Daniels. Brian Thomas was another receiver I wanted to touch base on too.
Oh, word. Take a step back on Jamari here quick. I don't mind him. Like, I really don't. He has decent size. He's 6'1", 188. So it's doable, you know. But what I think what he does best is his skills. The one thing that kind of I feel like lacked him at the college level was a quarterback with a powerful arm. It always seemed like he had to throttle it down to catch the ball. So hopefully getting to that next level, maybe he's able to get utilized more on his fly routes. He runs a 4.46, so that's really nice. We like to see that, right? Overall, though, he kind of gives me that same build as, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison type, where his head looks a little too big for his body.
That's crazy.
But
Jaden Daniels.
Hey, bro. It is who it is.
But, that's why I thought of Jaden Daniels. I don't know why.
But, bro, Jamari Thrash, though, he'll probably be all right. I don't think he's going to be as productive as those two that I just named as far as being a rookie. Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison. But I think one cat who could be as productive as those two guys is someone that you had just mentioned in Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. This guy's pretty crazy, bro. Like, he has really good size to him. And also he runs fast as hell. 4.43. Yeah, there ain't no other four in there. It's a 4.33.
Whole lot of threes.
Bro. Crazy.
Brian Thomas is one of those interesting receivers because, like, this whole draft class, like, for wide receivers is super deep. Everybody's, like, nobody knows what to do with anyone, right? Like, we got everyone collectively has Marvin Harrison pretty much as the one, and, like, it's a crapshoot after that, right? You got...
I don't think that this cat's going to is very close to Marvin at all. I think that Brian mm-hmm. Thomas is going to be one of those cats that... I think he's going to be another one of those guys that's a really good two. I think that's probably the perfect fit for him. That's what he was mm-hmm. at Louisville or at LSU.
Yep.
So I think that that's probably just going to be his career calling. But, I mean, you just saw what Mike Williams did. He's still making a bag as a two. So, sure. I don't know, man. I like him.
Well, I think with Brian Thomas, some people have him at wide receiver 4. And, you know, you talk to some people and they might have him at wide receiver 14.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a crapshoot after Marvin. But bringing it back, like, Brian Thomas, he has some deep pass-catching potential. He had the favor of playing next to Malik Nabers, so he didn't...
Yep.
He for his skill set and for him to see so much one-on-one coverage, perfect. Couldn't think of a better situation, right? You got a big, deep ball, big guy who can go down the field super quick. Catch a lot of passes down the field, but you have a guy like Malik Nabers across, you know, the line of scrimmage from you, and that takes away a lot of coverage, so that allows you to thrive, and his NFL fit is going to tell me a lot about where I want to, you know what I'm saying, like, draft him.
Do you have a team or two in mind that you wouldn't mind seeing him?
I want to see him play across, like you said, from another great receiver so he can step in and be a two. So if he were to land in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, across the line of scrimmage from Jamar Chase. That'd be great. LSU, you know what I'm saying? Whatever.
That's fair.
But I think that'd be a really great fit for him because Jamar Chase takes so much coverage away from him, and he can work downfield, get the one-on-one coverage, similar to T. Higgins. And
plus, not to cut you off, but with Tyler Boyd being out of the picture as well, there's no reason to say he couldn't go work the slot.
Yeah.
I mean, with his size and speed, he would be dangerous against linebackers or those undersized or – higher size safeties.
So you look at Cincinnati, who's going to be drafting in the middle of the first round. And, like, bro, like I said, there's a lot of people who have Brian Thomas as their wide receiver 4 in this draft class. And so if that were to hold true, that requires NFL teams to spend first round draft cap on him. Hey, if they take Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison and Romo Odunze in the top 10, top 12 of the NFL draft, and Cincinnati's up to draft at 15, 14, wherever they are. Shit, it could happen. Never know.
I feel like that probably won't happen just with the sheer fact that they still have T. Higgs on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So unless he's off the team, I can't say that I believe that will happen. Mm-hmm. Could I see him possibly going to Cincinnati in the second round? 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would make too much sense.
Yep, 100%.
Otherwise, I could also see this guy going to a team like... I think the Cardinals make a lot of sense for him.
Mm-hmm. If the Cardinals, the Cardinals pick again in the first round at pick 11, pick 12, something like that.
But I still think, I just don't know if I have this guy as a first rounder, if I'm going to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That just might be my bias, but I think that he's going to be like an early second round receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just why I think the Cardinals being, I think they still have their second round, which would be the four, I think.
Do you think...
that would make sense.
Do you think Brian Thomas gets drafted ahead of Ladd McConkey?
I think it'd be crazy to think that he doesn't. I like Ladd a lot. But overall, I mean, I would probably have to say that I have Brian Thomas a little higher just because of pure possibility.
Yeah.
I think that Ladd McConkey is going to be a really good possession receiver. He has good speed behind him as well. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something that's just missing. I don't know. Like, he has pretty much everything, but I think that Brian Thomas blows him out of the water when it comes to speed and also size. And so if he can just, my one hit against Brian, if I'm going to just have to be completely honest, it's just drops.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just has a lot of drops for my taste. And so I just want him to shore that up. And that's why I can't draft him in the first.
Yeah. I think he's really relying on having that X receiver there who can draw away coverage, who can reliably make catches,
right.
Three level receiver. So he's not forced to run those short and those intermediate routes. Right. Not saying he can't. But his superpower is catching down the field, right? And so I want to see more of that, and I hope mm-hmm. he lands in a situation that allows him to do that.
100%.
Ladd McConkey, cool receiver. I think he ran a really nice 40. Obviously, he played at Georgia, if you guys don't know. So he did play in the SEC against great DBs. He had a pretty cool, like, junior season. I think he had, like, 30 or 40 catches, so that's all right. I don't know if it's worth the first-round pick, but I do think he's productive. And I think that he's going to be in a situation similar to Brian Thomas to where it just depends on where NFL teams have them on their board, just like everybody else. But those are two guys who you hear a lot of hype about when it comes to first round draft cap and, you know, being in that upper echelon group of wide receivers.
Yeah, man, it'll pretty much just dictate on like what kind of flavor that team really wants at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want... Like, I think that Laz is going to be a pure slot receiver, if I'm going to be real. I mean, when you look at his size, I think he's probably just going to be a better Hunter Renfrow at the end of the day.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, if you want to spend first-round cap on that, cool. I just feel like there's other options out there, you know, that you can get that guy in the second, or you could get Ricky or Pearsall in the late second if you want to in the same, you know, same kind of flavor.
Packer question for you.
I saw, dude.
You think... After the Bears go out and they bring in a Keenan Allen, they're, you know, the Chicago Bears are basically in line to go ahead and bring in maybe the best quarterback prospect they've ever seen. I'm not going to go ahead and start comparing them to Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence, but
okay.
Bears don't have a super high ceiling with quarterbacks.
Okay.
As a Packer fan, do you feel as if we need to go out there and get more receiver help now that we're playing in a division that has Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore? Do you think we need to continue to load up at receivers, or I guess what do you think the Packers need to draft for in the first round of the NFL draft this year?
So I really think that the Packers need to address their back end safety help or even possibly DB, if I'm gonna be completely honest. I'd love getting Xavier McKinney in free agency, but at the end of the day, I really think that our strong safety is going to need a little bit more help. We don't have that at all yet. So I really like where we're at as far as offensively when it comes to our receiver weapons. There's a lot that we can do, and still we still have a lot to mold with these cats as well. Not anyone on that team is a finished prospect yet or finished project yet. So there's a lot of room to grow on this team as far as our receivers. And we have 5-6 of them that are pretty much rookies. So I love it, bro. I like how young we are. I think we could possibly add one if we wanted to try to trim a little bit of fat off.
It would be like, I'm a big advocate of like, hey, let's go ahead and get Christian Watson. Let's get him either into the lineup or decide what we're going to do while he still has value. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. But I just feel like as effective as we were last season without really utilizing him, I just think that just goes to show how deep this wide receiver room is.
Mm-hmm. That's 100%. And
so I don't see it happening in the first two rounds, really. I could see us possibly snagging. Like, I'm in love with Malachi Corley. So if we were to get someone like him in the third, I would be all for it.
Sounds like a Packer receiver.
But at the end of the day, dude, like, I really like our wide receiver room. So if we could get someone that we could add, like Cooper DeJean, like every Packer wants that cat, right? I mean, not only is he the first possible white cornerback in the last 20 years or some shit like that, but dog, he also can play safety and he can play slot corner. Like, he's literally everything that like the Packers really need. So at the end of the day, if we could get someone like that, that would be my goal.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be cool with us getting either a top end receiver, because I'm kind of on the team of like, hey, Christian Watson is injured a lot. I want to see either if he can stay on the field or, you know what I'm saying? I want to have a replacement ready to go. It sounds like that could be Dontavian Wicks, but, you know, I'd rather have too many than too little.
Right, exactly. And I mean, that's just with the current standings with Christian Watson being on the roster and having to have some faith in him. I mean, if we were to get rid of him, then it'd be a completely different situation where we could, I would be more happy to get someone a little higher. I just feel like, I just think taking receivers back-to-back second rounds, that's usually probably a little bit more than what Gutekunst likes to do, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I could see it possibly happening, but we would have to get rid of probably Christian Watson before that.
Okay. And, you know, obviously we're talking about rookies and whatnot and, you know, kind of took it to the Packers. But coming off of the Packers and, you know, fuck it, we're Packer fans, obviously.
Yep.
We just got rid of Aaron Jones. We bring in Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
I personally think Josh Jacobs has RB1 upside in terms of the RB1 of fantasy football.
Yeah, definitely could.
I guess, like, what's your floor with Josh Jacobs next year, assuming he plays, you know, 17 games?
If he were to be playing every single game and everything like that, I would say that the worst he'd probably do is probably running back 9.
Top 10, 100%.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a top 10 if he stays healthy. I mean, the usage is going to be crazy. I mean, we've seen what Aaron Jones's usage was like down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could definitely be something similar to that. And, I mean, the guy was scoring like 17-plus points a game.
Exactly.
So, I really like it, man. I like the fit a lot. We'll see where it goes. I really like it, though.
Yeah, I think just quickly on Jacobs, I think he has RB1 potential. Mm-hmm. My floor for him is probably RB5, RB6. I'm just going to make a quick case for it. Obviously, last year he got injured, and so he missed some games, and Zamir White had his opportunity to shine. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when he was on the field last year, he averaged 3.45 yards per carry, which is his career worst. Right, so that tells you all you need to know about the offensive line and the backup quarterback that they had, you know, starting. Next year, he steps into an offense that has Jordan Love, so defenses will respect his arm. He has a multitude of weapons and not just Devontae Adams. And he has the best offensive line he's probably ever had in his career, right? Packers do O-line well, we do quarterback well, and we're smart offensively. Three things Josh Jacobs has never had, and, you know, he had an RB3 finish back in 2022, so, hey. If all works out well and he stays relatively healthy, I think sky is the limit. And I'm drafting a lot of Josh Jacobs next year. So
facts.
Just my thoughts on that. But bringing it off of Josh Jacobs, bringing it off the Packers, I want to wrap this episode up today, Dugo, and I want to talk about tight ends, your specialty.
Hey, okay, I got a couple for you.
What tight ends are you, I guess, looking to draft this year?
Oh, dog. I mean, if I'm going to be real, give me all the tight ends, bro.
You gotta love. Yeah, I feel you.
Bro, if I'm going to be real. But let me just break down two for you guys real quick, all right? These are two guys that I think have really good upside. You probably heard a decent amount about, you know, like the Brock Bowers of the world, all that good stuff. You know, like, fuck them.
Jatavian,
right?
Sanders.
Yeah, you can bring up that motherfucker too if you want.
Dang.
But at the end of the day, I like this guy named Cade Stover from the Ohio State University.
Wait, who's Cade Stover?
Cade Stover? Dog. You're missing out. This guy is an absolute dog. He gives me vibes. I mean, if you go look at the NFL profile on him, it'll say Jake Ferguson. I believe it. I believe it, and I'm a big Jake Ferguson believer. I'm actually a holder of him in Dynasty Football.
Dynasty. Packers. Wait, no, you went to Wisconsin, right? Jake Ferguson was a Badger.
Yeah, Jake Ferguson was a Badger, correct? Yes. But, I mean, it's still one of those things. This is a Big Ten thing.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten, we produce all the tight ends. That's where Kate Stover's from. He's from the Ohio State University.
Why do you like Kate Stover, I guess, for fantasy, though?
So, I like him for fantasy because if you didn't see what Jake Ferguson had done this past year, he did really fucking well. So, Kate Stover, he's 6'4", 250, so a little bit shorter than what Jake Ferguson is. But I think that he's going to be on the field a lot because he's a great blocker as well. Just to give you at least some sort of stats on him through this past year for Ohio State, he had 41 catches, 576 yards, and 5 tutties. Wow. So, I mean, as a tight end, that's pretty decent numbers. Damn and good. It shows that you can actually utilize this guy as a threat. So, last year when Marvin Harrison Jr. was out, well, guess what? You still got your main guy in Cade Stover out there.
Whoa.
So, I don't know. I really like Cade Stover. I think that if you have an opportunity to get him in, like, the 4th, 5th round, if you have an abundance of picks in your dynasty drafts, this guy could definitely be a bit of a taxi run for you, for sure.
Who's your who's your best comp for Cade Stover?
Like I said, I think that Jake Ferguson is pretty decent just because Jake Ferguson's kind of an all-around guy. I don't think he's fast enough to be like George Kittle or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that he definitely has all the possibility to get you a top 10 tight end finish somewhere down the line.
Yeah, maybe if he ends up with like the right quarterback.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be the right quarterback, right system. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't put this guy in like an air raid system like a Miami. Where Miami might be decent just because of the sheer fact they run a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you try to get him out and spread out the field and stuff like that, I just don't know if he's going to be the exact cat that you want for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guy that I really like or that I'm starting to warm up to a little bit more is this Theo Johnson guy. So this guy, he's a little bit older. He's 23 years old, which isn't the greatest because why are you still in college at 23 years old? Anyways, this guy is 6'6", 264, and he's somehow listed as a junior, which kind of blows my mind. But he's a freak.
I liked his tape a lot, like, when I watched it, because, like, the thing about him was that, like, he was athletic, and they flanked him out a lot, so he was basically just, like, a third receiver in a lot of sets.
Right, exactly. I really like this guy for that sense, where I think this guy could be probably more of a downfield threat, realistically.
Every athletic tight end that can, like, somewhat catch, or that, like, occasionally goes out wide,
mm-hmm.
I can't help but to compare him to Noah Fant.
That's fair, man. Like, he also has like the same kind of size, and you know, he looks a little bit like Noah Fant too,
like,
honestly.
Bro, like, every time I see just like a big ass receiver that's like slightly athletic, I just think Noah Fant, bro.
That's fair. No, I get that. But yeah, dude, he's 6'6", just under 260. He has 33-inch arms, which is pretty decent. I mean, when you look at some of the receivers and stuff like that, it's kind of around the same. Mm-hmm. So he has the arm length to go out and get the ball in tough situations. And then plus he ran a 4.5 still. So, I mean, he's athletic enough to get down the field and, you know, probably not get caught.
Mm-hmm.
This guy ran a faster 40 than Bucky Irving.
Whoa.
Put that in perspective.
Bucky Irving. Should we talk about Bucky this episode?
Nah, dude.
We'll wait.
Yeah, I'll wait on him. Oh.
You got some words for Bucky?
Dude, he was so promising.
It wasn't great.
So promising.
We'll do a breakdown on Bucky next week on next week's episode.
Yeah.
But I guess before we wrap up, do you have a comp for Theo Johnson? Just so we can give the viewers some perspective if they don't follow.
Gosh, that's a tough one.
Mine was Noah Fant, but I mean anybody who can somewhat catch that position, I say you're Noah Fant.
Right. Shoot, dude. If I'm gonna go size, Let me get the same vibe for, shoot, that's just tough.
I almost wanted to say like Daniel Bellinger a little bit.
Nah, he's bigger than Bellinger, dog.
Yeah.
This guy's a big boy.
Like, I'm trying to think of somebody who obviously can block, but, you know, they can go out wide as well. I feel like another good one for him.
Let me get David Njoku vibes.
Really?
Yeah, I like David Njoku compared to him.
Okay. That's a good comp.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll roll with that. All right. So David Njoku is probably the closest comp for Theo Johnson, according to your tight end expert.
That's what I would say, at least right now. He's a little bit bigger than him as far as height, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I would say being able to flex out the way that he does, that's what David can also do if needed. He's been utilized as a damn near number one, especially down that stretch with Joe Flacco. So, yeah, I like his ability, and I think that both of them are really good receivers. So let me get David Njoku vibes from him.
Okay, cool. So we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's episode. We appreciate you guys for tapping in with us every week. This is Fantasy Football with Gumbo. Boys are back in town. We're back to work. Make sure you guys go ahead and hit that follow button and the subscribe below. Tweet us at the Gumbo Pod on X, Twitter, whatever you call it. But until we meet again, my name is Josh.
Hey, you know it's Duke over here. Appreciate y'all tapping in with those head tops.
With those head tops. We'll talk to you later. Peace.